Hey, guys, what's going on?
How are you? Chris, how was your weekend, first of all?
Can't complain.
Did you enjoy the Indy 500? I know you thought Andretti was finally going to break that slump. Yeah. Didn't get done, Chris.
No, I love it, though, man. That's my favorite. I'm a big auto racing guy. For anybody who knows me. The Sunday before Memorial Day, you got Monaco in the morning, you got Indy, you got NASCAR. It's just it's heaven for a guy like me. But no, man, I'm an Andretti guy. I was pulling for him. I just like good stories, you know, and that family going to victory lane would have definitely been one. But
are you disappointed? I was just going to say, are you disappointed that Kyle Busch, after he ran so well at Indy and then his car died on him in the Coca-Cola 600?
Yeah, it's actually Kurt Busch.
Oh, Kurt Busch, thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, that kind of stunk. That again, it's a good story. And there's, you know, in auto racing anymore, kind of like a lot of things in the world, it's all about sponsors and, you know, and big dollars and whatnot. And I just like a guy like Kurt Busch who kind of flips everybody the bird and does what he wants. You know, something refreshing about that. You haven't seen it for about 10 years, but that was cool to see him run in the top 10, and it'd be interesting to. You know, that's really impressive, because I don't think anybody in IndyCar could just jump into a Cup car and finish in the top 10 in one of their premier races. So cool for him, and it's really just a good day, I thought, for it.
I was about to applaud my partner for paying attention to that race, then he had the driver's name wrong. So.
Well, they're brothers.
Well, I tell you, you got the wrong Busch.
That happens all the time.
There's a lot of brothers.
It starts with a K.
Okay. Let's move to Iowa State, Chris. And I don't know if you saw it. There's a new website out there. He's a former line maker in Las Vegas that's come out with his over-under win totals already. AgainstTheNumber.com is his website. He's done it for all of the Big Five schools. And Iowa State's is 3.5, which is ahead of Kansas and West Virginia. So basically, he's picking Iowa State 8th and picking them to win 3.5 games, which I think is probably, you know, when the hotels release theirs here in June into July, I think that's probably right where it's going to be, Chris.
Yeah, I do too. I think that nationally, I think that's exactly where it probably will and should be, because really, I mean, if you look at what's coming back with Iowa State, 16 starters, as many as any program in the Big 12 conference, but you look at it and you go, okay, well, all those starters are coming back on offense, and they weren't very good on offense. So nationally, it's really hard, I think, to, other than the Mark Mangino, which is a positive, I think a lot of people think that the offense will improve because of the experience of Mangino being there. It's hard for me to understand why anybody nationally would give Iowa State any more respect than that based off of last season. So I think it's accurate. I think I probably put a gun to my head. Maybe I'd probably take the over, just because I think, you know, and I wrote about this on Fanatic today, you know, North Dakota State should make every Iowa State fan nervous, no question, but they still, what do they lose, like 17 starters, something like that?
They lost a lot of them.
And a head coach.
Yes.
Yeah, and a head coach. So they're going to be good, because that's a program that expects to win. You know, they're a perennial power, no question. But Iowa State should win that. Iowa State should beat Toledo at home. Iowa State, by all means, I think, should beat Kansas. So you've got three, and I think any of those three games at the end of the year with Texas Tech and West Virginia at home, they'll win one of those. I think they could win two, just, you know, depending on how things play out. That's in November. Injuries and stuff are a big deal. And even at TCU in December, I mean, that's a program where, you know, Gary Patterson's just had a heck of a time getting any sort of momentum going whatsoever in the Big 12. And if they lose some games early, I could see, you know, I could see that team quitting on Gary Patterson too. So here's the deal. 3.5 accurate, but I think that there are some games out there based off of scheduling, even Kansas State in week two. I think Kansas State, I love Kansas State. I love Bill Snyder. I love everything about that program. But if you're going to play them at home, I'd rather have them in week two than, you know, in October or November. They've got 9 JUCOs coming in. They lost, you know, quite a few starters. That's a team that's going to have to really get their feet under them. So the schedule for Iowa State, no question, is difficult. But I also think there are some perks to it as well when you really start to break it down.
If the line is correct, 3, 3.5, Chris, and that is what it turns out to be, how hot then does Rose seat get, or does it get hot?
Well, I think if he has back-to-back three-win seasons, that's then that's the conversation. I mean, I think it probably should be, but I don't think that that would. I don't see Jamie Pollard just firing him for that either. I think that you've got to factor in other things. You got to factor in how is attendance. You know, how is support? Is that starting to drop off? That was a big reason why Dan McCarney was let go or resigned or whatever you want to call it a few years ago. It was because Iowa State needed to do this, this, and this financially, and they needed to. And there was fatigue, you know, with the fan base, and they weren't, not everybody, but you know, there wasn't a ton of belief out there that
hope matched. is the term Pollard used.
Yes.
Hope.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think there are a lot of intangibles to that. I don't think if Paul goes 3-9 this year, I don't think he'll get fired. I think he would have another year.
And he's got a south end zone that's going to sell tickets
right,
next year.
He's got the end zone, but on paper, recruiting has been better. I think that this last recruiting class is the best one he's brought into Iowa State. And I also know how big of a believer Jamie Pollard is in, you know, just continuity and, you know, pointing out Missouri and Gary Pinkel and sticking with him over the years. And I just don't know if Iowa State's a program where you're beneficial, you know, playing tic-tac-toe with coaches every 5-6 years. I don't know if that's the best way to go about it at Iowa State. I don't know who they're going to get. You know what I'm saying?
I do agree with you, Chris.
Yep, we get it.
If you're in Auburn or it's a different conversation than you're having at Iowa State.
No question.
Paul clearly wants to be there, and that, to me, that's as big as anything. So I don't think that his job will be in jeopardy at the end of the year.
No, I'm with you, Chris, and I think that was very well put. It's a different set of criteria at the Big 12's most northernmost outpost. So for that reason, he's got the south end zone. And, I mean, even if he takes a step forward, and I think people forget that Iowa State, and we'll use your term, that it's different than Auburn, or it's different than it is at the majority of schools when it comes to coaching records. Chris, let's move on. Capital City League, a lot of people looking forward to this every time this time of year over the last few years. It seems like under Hoiberg that there seems to be more buzz when this event, this annual event, finally shows up on our calendar. And I think it has a lot to do with the new faces that that get brought in every single year. And I don't think that this year is any different, Chris. I sense buzz for this, you know, this Capital City League again.
Yeah, no question. I mean, just when you factor in, you know, Abdul Nader, that is, Clayton Custer and Jameel McKay. People want to see these guys. I mean, I think Nader played in the league last year. McKay certainly didn't. Custer certainly didn't. But then, you know, there's people want to. You know, some stars were born last year, frankly, for Iowa State. I mean, Nas Long, a lot of casual fans knew who he was. They didn't know what he was all about last summer. Monte Morris, for sure. I think a lot of people are going to keep an eye on Matt Thomas and his progression from his freshman year leading up to a sophomore campaign. So I think two reasons the league's blown up. One, you're dead on with the transfers, because that first time, I mean, it was like Royce White, and, you know, you had some pretty heavy hitters coming through the Cap City League. And two, I think the media has a lot to do with it, too. I mean, we were starving for anything write about during that time of year. And when you have a hot ticket item like Iowa State basketball is right now, I mean, the budget, our readership on our website cannot get enough of basketball right now. It's unbelievable. I mean, they will read anything that has to do with basketball. They'll listen to our podcast, and they're really excited about it. So I think too that the media outlets out there are probably doing their readership a disservice if they're not necessarily covering the league. I mean, you don't have to be there every single night, but it is newsworthy now, I think. And we started covering it on a night to night basis last year, where we were posting the stats and recaps and whatnot, and people were clicking on it. There's a demand for it, and I think that the media it's gotten to a point now where you don't have to cover it, but I think you're doing your readers a disservice if you're not at least paying attention to it and posting some highlights and whatnot. So yeah, the league's taken off, and the draft is, I believe, June 3rd. I think they tip off on the 15th, something like that. So it's coming up.
Are you pleasantly pleased that the Hoiberg talk has finally gone away?
Well, hang on a second, because today Dan Patrick and Chris Maddox were talking about Cleveland.
They did. They talked to me. He's not going to go to Cleveland.
Yeah, no. Listen, how I am with the Hoiberg thing, I think we talked about this last week too.
Probably the week before, Chris, and the week before that.
Listen, just if the guy is interviewing, talk to me. Kind of how I don't think he's going anywhere this year.
We agree.
Yeah, I know. And but my point, what I'm getting to is, even if it's settled down, you know, what if OKC goes there? It could pop back up in a week,
mm-hmm.
and that would surprise me once. So that's a good situation. You know, it really is for Iowa State. It's frustrating for fans, and it creates a lot of anxiety, I know, on our message board. But at the same time, when your head coach is getting tossed around for some of the top jobs in the entire sport of basketball, it's hard for me to call that a bad thing, too. So, you know what? Kind of relax for a little bit, but I won't be surprised if it pops up again in a week or two.
Chris, it brings a great light of national praise to Iowa State. Because the coach is getting bantered around, not just in Des Moines or in the state of Iowa, but nationally on sports talk radio stations in big cities, on television, on TV networks. Everybody was involved.
And you got Bill Simmons, who seems to be obsessed with Fred right now.
He is.
Probably not a more read or listened to NBA analyst in the world. So, no, I mean, listen, I actually asked about this. I asked a guy on Iowa State staff about recruiting. I said, how do you guys specifically deal with that? And he goes, well, we just tell them that Fred's not going anywhere, and then it becomes great because then all of a sudden it's the guy you potentially might come play for is, you know, he's like a rock star in the coaching world, and kids really do like that.
Yep.
So from that aspect, I think it's positive.
Last thing, Chris, the Big 12's annual meeting is, I think, starts tomorrow in Dallas. One of the subjects or one of the items for debate is the basketball tournaments, and that's bringing the women and the men back to the same. So play both of them in Kansas City, both of them in Dallas, both of them in Oklahoma City. Do you think that that's probably something that's going to happen once the contracts for the next couple of years have been exhausted?
Here's the problem with that, and I'm obviously for it. It works out well for Iowa State because Iowa State's women's basketball fan base is so large, and they travel. I mean, I try and explain this to some guys who also cover Big 12 teams and have websites. A lot of them can't believe, they don't understand why we have a women's basketball section on our website. And I can show you the stats. It gets clicks. People eat it up. They love it. The Penelope's program is energized, and people want to read about it. So we cover it. But that's not the case everywhere. And when that tournament went down from Kansas City to Dallas last year, or 2 years ago, the women, I believe there was a pretty good spike in attendance. They at least sold tickets. That doesn't mean busting the seats of the arena. The women, by my knowledge, they feel, this is not Iowa State, but this wide, that they want to be showcased. They want to be, you know, the event in a city where they are hosting their tournament, and they don't want to be overshadowed by the men. Now, I would argue, you know, there's clearly a lot more people who go to the men's tournament who maybe they don't go to a women's basketball game, but you know what? Let's say the tournament's in Oklahoma City, Kansas State's men have an 11 o'clock and the women are playing at 6. I bet you're going to get some casual men's fans to come and support your women's program. So I think they had something really special when they were doing it in the same city. It's very unique. You don't see that with other conferences, and they got away from that. And I hope that they bring it back. I've come to be a realist that tournament's not going to be in Kansas City forever, all the time. And you know what? As much as I hate it, and I think every Iowa State, anybody affiliated with any of the northern schools, I would say, hates that. It's realistic, and it's going to be moved around. But I think a big positive would be bringing those two back together. And it'll be interesting, some of the, you know, statistics and what they have to say about how it's worked out, you know, with the women being the week before at a different area. Sure, it's been great, I think, for Baylor fans, but for everybody else, I'd be curious to see, you know, how much the attendance has dropped off from every school other than, you know, Baylor in Texas, right when it's in their backyard. So I'm kind of staying tuned. I'm not going to make any predictions on that one, but I certainly know I hope they bring them back together for the you know, for the rest of time, because it was a cool event when they had it.
Chris, have a great week. We will talk to you in a week unless the need arises. Thank you, Chris Williams.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic on the Griptite Foundation Repair Hotline. Ton late, Jimmy B. Let's get to a timeout.
You got
we'll continue Miller and Brinson on 1460 KXNO.